Mark 10, verse 46, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the service today. Thank you for everything that has been done. Thank you for your presence that has been in this assembly from the very beginning. Thank you now as we come to this part of the service, the word, Lord, the preaching of the word, I pray for the quickening of the Holy Spirit upon my heart, Lord. God, upon my mind, my understanding, Lord, give me clarity, give me largeness of speech. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The pursuit of his presence. If I had a title, that's what I would title this today. The pursuit of his presence. I don't know about you, but I want his presence in my life. I want his presence in my life. Pursuit is the proof of desire. If you really desire something, you will pursue it. And I have been feeling a word in my spirit for today. And I know that what I'm going to share with you today is probably not for everyone, but I know for sure this is a word that is a right now word for someone. And so I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this could be for you. Amen. So I'm going to start this message by prophesying, and I prophesy today that somebody is changing positions in life. And I prophesy that somebody is going to receive sight. And you're going to see the life that God has ordained for you and see how the devil has been deceiving you. And I prophesy that somebody is going to get mad at the devil today, and you're going to stand up in your faith and you're going to go after your inheritance in Christ. Somebody say, I'm after my inheritance.
I'm after my inheritance.
Somebody say, I'm pursuing his presence. Now, I know, as I said, I'm not speaking to everyone, but I'm speaking to someone. And you've been a victim of circumstances, and the truth is you've let your circumstances define you. And you have let your circumstances decide and determine what you can have in life, what you can't have in life, what you can do and what you can't do. And the truth is you've worn those circumstances like a straitjacket, and they've held you in bondage, and they've kept you from the unlimited, free, abundant life that Jesus came to give. But look at somebody and say, neighbor. Say, today, I'm going to pull a Houdini. What does that mean? I am coming out of this straitjacket. Hallelujah. I said, I'm pulling a Houdini. I'm coming out of this straitjacket. And it's not going to take me 15 years or 9 months. But in 15 to 20 minutes, friend, you can come out of that straitjacket and you never be the same again in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I'm breaking out. The Bible says Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. Jesus was coming his way. Bartimaeus means foul, unclean, polluted. And he's the son of Timaeus. Now, this is interesting. Timaeus means highly prized. That's amazing. Bartimaeus represents we who are without Christ. Before we met Jesus, we were foul, unclean, polluted by sin, and yet, everybody say, and yet,
yes.
We were so highly prized by God, the Father, that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die on a cruel cross and shed His blood for us. So here is Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side begging. And let me just say this, you may be a millionaire living in a mansion with servants and maids. You may have multiple bank accounts, your own private jet, ride around in a chauffeured limousine. But if you don't know Jesus, you're no different than a skid row bum who's rejected by society, slave to alcoholism and drug addiction, with no house, no car, no servants, and not knowing where his next meal is coming from. Without Jesus, we're in the same condition. Both are in the same condition. Both are blind. Both are lost. Both are unclean. Both are polluted by sin. And there's only one cure, my friend, and it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're a Beverly Hills banker or a Vegas strip hooker. It takes the blood of Jesus, and there is nothing but the blood that can wash away my sin. Look at your neighbor and say, it takes the blood. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes. You and I were Bartimaeus. I was Bartimaeus, foul, unclean, rejected, and outcast, but you were also Timaeus, which means highly prized in the sight of God, so that He sent His Son to die for us and willingly shed His blood. So millionaire or bum, high-rise professional businesswoman or ghetto prostitute, you need the blood of Jesus. And if you cry out to Him like Bartimaeus, He comes, He will come, He will save you, He will heal you, He will deliver you, He will set you free. I know He'll do it. Multitudes today are like blind Bartimaeus. They're sitting by the highway side begging. They're blind, they're lost in the darkness of sin. They don't know their worth, they don't know their value to God. And they're slaves to the devil, being led around with a leash around their necks. And they don't know who they are. They don't know where they're going. And they don't know why they're here. But blind Bartimaeus represents another group of people that we find not in the world, but in the church. These are the ones in the church, in the body of Christ, who love God. They're saved, but they're living the limited life, the small beggarly life. They're the ones who live with the mentality that they're not worthy. And if they could just get the crumbs from the master's table, they would be satisfied. But let me tell you, that's a spiritual blindness. They're blinded to their inheritance in Christ. They've not realized that it has nothing to do with our being worthy. It has everything to do with our accepting what Jesus did as being enough. Our righteousness is not in how good we are. Our righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not in how good we are. It's in how good He is. And He didn't come to give us crumbs. He came to give us life, and that more abundantly. Woo, hallelujah. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Friend, the church has gone to great lengths to prepare us for heaven and get us ready for eternal life, but to a large extent has failed to teach us how to experience the abundant life right here, right now. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Right here,
right here,
right now.
Right now.
Yeah. The highway represents the concourse of life, the place where life is taking place, where the business of life is going on. Jesus is on the highway. But here is Bartimaeus on the side of the highway, existing, but not really living. On this highway is Jesus. Jesus is the anointing. He's peace. He's abundant life. He's favor. Bartimaeus is on the side of the highway, and he's begging. Again, Bartimaeus represents many of God's people who love God, yet they're willing to live a substandard life. Now listen, anything that you will accept, the devil will give you. If you will be satisfied with mediocrity, then that's what you'll get. Like Lazarus, the beggar who sat at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, like the Syrophoenician woman who said to Jesus, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Many of God's people are saved, but they're living on crumbs. just getting by, just trying to hold on and hang out till Jesus comes. Saved but living defeated lives, saved but discouraged, saved but anxious, saved but fearful, saved but worried and stressed out, saved but they got no peace and they got no joy and they got no abundant life. They're saved but they're always struggling financially. Friend, listen to me. Jesus didn't come to give us a crummy life. He never promised us a just getting by life. He never promised us the just enough life. He never promised us the just holding on by a thread life. Oh, no, my friend. Oh, no. He came to give us super abundant life. He came to give us overflowing life and unlimited life, a life of joy unspeakable and full of glory. He came to give us peace like a river. He came to give us power over the devil, power over the world and the flesh and the devil. Hallelujah. Woo! He didn't come only to heal our sicknesses. He came to give us power to heal sicknesses. One day, blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, heard Jesus is coming down the highway. He decided that day he wanted that abundant life. He decided that day he was tired of begging. He decided he had lived on crumbs long enough. Living on crumbs means always in want, always in need, always in lack, always coming up short, just barely getting by. This means all of his thoughts and all of his energies were consumed on himself just to survive. In essence, he was like Mephibosheth, who was the product of royalty. He had royal blood in his veins. He's King Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, but he's living like a beggar in Lodabar. I heard one minister say this. He said he was living below the bar. I like that. Lodabar represents below the bar. It means being satisfied with less than what you can have. Living a substandard life. Living on cheese and crackers when you could be having filet mignon. Spiritually speaking, they're begging at the gates when in reality they own the palace. Yeah. Woo-hoo! Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody lift your hands and bless them in this house. I'm telling you, we are rich. We are rich. We're begging at the gates for crumbs when we own the palace. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, no more begging.
No more begging.
At the gates.
At the gate.
I own the palace.
I own the palace.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened in Bartimaeus' life that delivered him from the place of living the life of a beggar? No vision, no dream, no passion, no hope, a better day, just getting by, living on crumbs. What happened? You say Jesus healed him. Of course Jesus healed him. But before something happened to him, something happened in him. He recognized he had a need. He acknowledged his weakness. He recognized his lack and his deficiency. He became desperate for a change. He became desperate for the abundant life. He wanted his vision. He wanted deliverance from his lack. He wanted deliverance from a life of impotency and a powerless life. And he recognized that Jesus was the one who could deliver him. Oh, tola boshata. And Jesus was the one who could open his eyes and bring him into a life of vision and power and abundance.
Yes.
And he gave everything to get Jesus' attention.
Yes.
A lot of people want what Jesus has, but they're not willing to pay for it. Somebody said, pay for it. What do you mean, Pastor, pay for it? You mean buy it? Buy it? No, you can't buy a miracle. If you could, you couldn't afford it. You can't buy a miracle. If you could buy miracles, only rich people would have them. Only rich people could get them. No, you can't buy a miracle, but you can buy, not with money, but with passion, hunger. See, to get the presence of God, that's what we're talking about, the pursuit of His presence. To get His presence, it will cost you something. What will it cost me if I can't get it with money? You can't buy the presence of God. If you could buy the presence of God, only millionaires would have His presence. And everyone that was less than a millionaire couldn't afford His presence. Aren't you glad it doesn't take money to get His presence? But it will cost you something. What will it cost me? It will cost you your pride. It will cost you your preconceived religious ideas and traditions. It will cost you your old way of doing business. You'll have to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do and not what you prefer to do. It will cost you time in the presence of God. It may cost you your old associations, your friendship circle. You have to run with a different group of people. You have to run with some faith people. You have to run with some people that believe in God instead of complaining and murmuring and griping all the time. And it might even cost you your reputation. Some people might even call you fanatical and call you crazy. But is it worth it to have His presence? I ask you, what is it worth to have the presence of God in your life? What kind of value do you put on the presence of God? That's why there's still a lot of blind Bartimaeuses in the church today, because they would rather be blind than pay the price to be healed and have sight. They'd rather live on crumbs from somebody else's table than pay the price to receive personal divine revelation for themselves. Do you realize that when you come on Sunday morning to hear me preach, that all you're getting is crumbs? Do you realize that? Do you realize it was never intended by God that that was your staple? That that was what you lived by? That that's all you lived by? That you lived on my crumbs? Hello? That's all I do. I don't serve up the whole loaf when you come. I can't do that. I take little bits and break it up in little crumbs. And see, this is the reason why we have so many blind people, spiritually blind in the church, because they're satisfied just to come and gather up a few crumbs on Sunday morning rather than to pay the price to get in the presence of God and to open that Bible and that Word and get before God and say, God, I want more than just secondhand information. I want personal revelation. I want to climb the mountain for myself. I don't want a Moses to go up to the mountain for me. I don't want a Moses. I don't want Pastor Sisney to go up to the mountain for me and hear everything I'm supposed to hear. I want personal revelation. Crumbs are not enough. I'm not satisfied with crumbs. I don't want secondhand information. I want personal revelation. You see, if you've got a spirit of revelation working in you, you might get a crumb on Sunday morning, and you'll go home on Sunday morning, and you'll begin to think on that through the day and through the week, and that spirit of revelation will begin to work in you, and all of a sudden, that crumb will start growing and growing and growing and growing, and it'll become a loaf, hallelujah, because of the spirit of revelation in your life. But I'm not really in a position to criticize, because I used to be one of those people blindly following around somebody else, living off the crumbs, not willing to pay the price for personal revelation, to have the power of God in my life. Friend, it's not sin that's keeping most people from the abundant life itself. Sin is not what's keeping most Christians from the abundant life itself. Bartimaeus' robe represents his self-life, what he's associated with, what he's comfortable with, what he understands, what he knows. He put off his robe to come to Jesus. He put off the self-life. The only way for you and I to receive the Christ life, resurrection power and anointing, is to let the cross deliver us from ourselves. The cross is not just a deliverance from sin. The cross is a deliverance from self. It delivers me from myself. It delivers me from my pride. The Bible says, if any man is going to follow me, Jesus said he has to deny himself, take up his cross and follow after me. It's a self-crucifixion. Paul the Apostle said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Not sin, but me, self. The only way to resurrection power is through the cross. The life of God can only be manifested in us to the degree that the cross has exercised its power in our lives over sin and over self. We can only receive divine vision and revelation as we admit our own blindness. Many of God's people are blinded by what? By religion, by tradition, by desire for popularity, the praise of men. Many are blinded by their feelings and their emotions. But somebody, everybody say somebody.
Somebody.
Say it might as well be me. Somebody's changing positions today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say it might as well be you. And then look at your neighbor and say, might as well be me. Matter of fact, it will be me. Hallelujah. What do you say? Somebody is casting off the robes of self today. Somebody is admitting, yes, I'm blind. I've been blind to the higher life. Somebody's recognizing I've been living on crumbs and I'm not satisfied with crumbs anymore. Somebody's making up your mind. I'm not satisfied with secondhand information. I want personal revelation. And somebody, I believe, is getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. And somebody is going to get Jesus' attention today. Woo! Hallelujah. I just believe it in my heart that somebody is tired of being drug around through life. Tired of feeling second class. Tired of feeling like the spare tire. The only time you're thought of is when somebody wants to use you. Somebody's hunger and somebody's desperation is reaching out to Jesus today, and you're never going to be the same. Oh, hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands in this house right now and just reach out for Him for just a moment. Come on, just lift your hands and reach for Him. The Bible says He's not far from any one of us, and we can find Him if we'll feel after Him. He said if you'll feel after Him, you'll find Him. Oh, sometimes you just got to feel after Him. You got to reach for Him. Lord, are you there? Are you close to me? I want to touch you today. I want you to touch me. Bartimaeus knew on this day, this was his moment. This was his divine appointment with destiny. He did not know, will Jesus ever pass this way again? He seized the moment and he caught his presence. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon the Lord while he is near. Somebody today, you need to catch His presence. You need to catch His presence, because if you can catch His presence, you can catch His promise. If you can catch His presence, you'll get His promise. If you can catch His presence, you get everything you need. Your miracle, your healing, your deliverance, your breakthrough, it's in His presence. Your peace, your joy, your restoration, it's in His presence. Your anointing, your vision, your destiny, it's in His presence. In His presence is full. Fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. No wonder Moses says, don't take me from this place if your presence does not go with me. I want your presence with me. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, the mountains melt like wax. Things that seem so big, and things that seem so impossible, and things that seem so hard, and they seem so difficult. If you just get in the presence of God, they just begin to melt away. Hallelujah. 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 Bartimaeus knew Jesus is coming my way, and he had to make a choice. Am I going to let Him pass by me, or am I going to go after Him? But Bartimaeus, you can't even see Him. But Bartimaeus didn't have sight, but he had something that a lot of people around him didn't have. He had a desperation for His touch. How many are sick and tired of the devil lying and stealing from you? Sick and tired of the devil lying and stealing. How many are ready to step into your blessing and step into your healing? Step into your miracle. Step into your personal anointing. Receive your personal anointing. Bartimaeus made a decision. I'm going after Jesus. And he started to cry out. Some people would be embarrassed by it. Some people wouldn't even think about it. Some people would say, you'll never catch me acting like that. Well, let me just tell you something. For those people that are always trying to put stipulations on God. I remember a man that told my dad one time. He was seeking the Lord and he was wanting the Holy Ghost. And this was when Pentecost was used to be called Holy Rollers. We don't have too many Holy Rollers anymore. We got a few Holy Smokers that we they think they are. But he told my dad, he said, I want that Holy Ghost. He said, I would like to have that. He said, I'll tell you one thing, I ain't going to roll around on the floor like them people did up there. I ain't going to do that. Well, isn't it something? Isn't it just funny that the way that he came through was rolling all over the floor. And when he came through, he came speaking in tongues. And he wasn't a bit embarrassed, and he wasn't a bit disappointed, and he wasn't a bit upset that his clothes got wrinkled or anything. He got what he came after. What I'm saying, would you get desperate enough? What is rolling on the floor when you get desperate enough? When you get desperate enough, what is it to crawl on your hands and knees and get your fingers stepped on like the little woman who reached out to touch Jesus' garment? When you get desperate enough, maybe you don't care what people think about you. When you get desperate enough, you don't care if your makeup runs. When you get desperate enough, you don't care if your wig gets twisted. When you get desperate enough, it don't matter to you anymore. Hallelujah. When you get desperate enough, all that matters is touching Jesus. If I can just touch him, my life will never be the same. If I can just touch him, I'll be healed. If I can just touch him, I'll be delivered. If I can just touch him, I know I'll be changed. If I can just touch him, the sickness will be gone. If I can just touch him, my mind will be renewed. If I can just touch him, my life will be transformed. I've got to touch Jesus. I'm making a decision today. I'm making a choice today. I'm not going to let him pass me by without touching him. I'm going after him. I'm going to pursue his presence. I'm going to get his attention. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get his attention. Oh, Bartimaeus, you're making too much noise. Oh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. You're going to bother the master. Oh, Bartimaeus, tame it down. Quiet it down. Oh, what's happened to our churches? What's happened to our churches? What's happened to the passion that didn't care if they yelled and screamed and shouted and jumped and ran? What happened to the passion that says the most important thing is touching him? The most important thing is to touch his presence and to receive his presence and to have his presence in our midst. Pursuit of his presence. Come on, stand with me today. I'm almost done. The pursuit of his presence. Oh, Cola. Oh, God. Oh, Kete. Oh, Nelaboshai. Oh, Nalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalalal Come on, I want us to go after him today. Come on and join me in the front of this building for just a moment. We're going to spend some time with him today. Just for a little bit. Just for a little bit. Join me in the front of this building just for a little bit. So what are we going to do today, Pastor? We're going to go after Jesus. Worship is the door into his presence. Come before his presence with singing. Bow down and worship him. Worship is the door into his presence. The price of his presence. What is the price of his presence? Pastor, what is the price of his presence? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Passion is the price of his presence. His presence is not for the casual. His presence is not for the comfortable. His presence is not for the satisfied. His presence is not for the religious. And I'm going to tell you something, it's not for the indifferent. The indifferent are the take it or leave it people. The indifferent are the ones that say, well, you know, if it is, it is. If it isn't, it isn't. It's not for the one who thinks they have everything they need, but they're willing to add Jesus into the mix. It's not for the insincere. I'm going to tell you who the presence of God is for. It's for the empty. It's for the one that will come like David, who even though he was a king, even though he was rich, he said, I am poor and I am weak. I am poor and I am weak. Oh, I may be a king, but when it comes to the presence of God, I'm always needy. I may have every need supplied in the natural, but when it comes to the presence of God, I'm always in need. It's for the empty. It's for the hungry. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. It's for the desperate. How long has it been since you felt a desperation for the presence of God? It's for the ones who cry out to Him like a drowning man in the ocean. It's for the one who reaches for Him like a man that's dying of thirst in the desert. It's for the desperate. It's for the hungry. It's for the passionate. It's for the thirsty. Oh, I'm trying to tell you the passion, the price of His presence. I'm pursuing His presence today. Come on, let's pursue His presence today. What does it take to get His presence in this house? What does it take to get His power in your life? If you can get His presence, you can get His power. I want you to touch me today, Jesus. I want you to touch me. I want you to fill this house with Your presence. I want you to fill my life with Your presence. I cannot go another day without Your presence. I cannot go another hour without Your presence. I cannot go...
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.